Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Trapped. That's the way many young, mostly white college graduates feel today. Trapped by student loan debt. They were told they needed a college degree to compete in the job market. They were told by interested parties, the banks and the colleges, that money is available to pay their ever-rising tuition bills, and so being unsophisticated in the ways of finance, they signed up for the loans, believing that these wise advisors would never steer them wrong. And boy, do they regret it now. Upon graduating, they often find that job prospects are not what they supposed, and even if they can find work in their field, they are saddled with loan payments as high as they'd be paying if they had bought a house with a substantial mortgage. And there's no way out, not even through bankruptcy. The banks lobbied hard and got special provisions in the law forbidding these graduates from discharging unpayable student loans through bankruptcy, like anyone else who gets in trouble with debt can. So far, anyway, until the next round of bank lobbying. And some of these loans, or groups of loans taken out by a single student, are huge. $30,000 is common. $100,000 is not rare, even for students at third-tier, little-known universities and colleges. A shocking number are near the quarter-million mark. Many of these graduates got their parents or other family members to sign up as co-signers on their student loans and are very reluctant to go into default for fear that their loved ones will be forced to pay. So they must scrape. They must take whatever work is available. They must accept much lower wages than they might otherwise because they often cannot wait for a better offer, because those loan payments must be made every month on time or the loan goes into default, which ruins your chance of future credit and which might mean that mom and dad lose everything they've worked for the last 20 years. Some are driven to suicide by their impossible situations. A few have fled the country. But what most have done is buckle down and give 10 to 25 years of their lives to paying principal and interest to the banks, making payments that for many mean no hope of a home of their own, no chance to save any significant amount, and most crushing of all, no hope of children until they're well into their 30s, if then. When you are saddled with crushing student loan debt, there is no taking off a few months to pursue a lifelong dream, no sabbatical to figure out what you want in life, no changing of your mind and setting off on a new, perhaps lower-paying path. Oh no. The gaping maw of the banker must be filled, or you're in trouble, and it must be filled continuously, without pause, for 10 years, or in some cases, 25 years. A full quarter century, almost half of your adult life. Is this any way to run an educational system? Is this any way to run a society? Suppressing the birth rate of your most promising and intelligent young people seems unbelievably stupid. Stupid, that is, until you realize that this system was created by the regime in Washington, working hand in hand with the oligarchs, whose fondest goal is to exterminate our race. Working hand in hand with the oligarchs, whose second fondest goal is to see all of us working for our entire lives for them, paying interest on money they created out of nothing. And demoralizing the brightest people of the upcoming generation like this is certainly a formula for disaster. The only question is whether it will continue to be a disaster for us, or will we be able to educate our people and nurture in them not demoralization, but a righteous anger, an anger so great that the situation will reverse itself and become a disaster. The final disaster, let us hope, for the vipers that are taking our life's blood away from us. These graduates are paying tens of thousands of dollars for decades to pay back loans that the banks created out of nothing. Out of nothing, you say? Yes. That is the entire basis of the fractional reserve banking system, and also a major source of wealth for the Jewish financial elite. In a future program, I will show you the history of this, the greatest of all confidence rackets in the history of the world. But for now, let me just say briefly that when you make a deposit in your checking account or other demand deposit account, demand deposit merely means that you can demand your deposited funds back at any time. When you make a deposit of, say, $1,000, the bank then proceeds to lend out around $900. The exact amount depends on the reserve requirements set by the central bank. It lends out that $900 to another customer, and that $900 immediately becomes available in that other customer's checking account. But does the banker actually lend out your money? Does he then deduct the $900 he lent out from your available funds? Does he put a hold on $900 of your funds until the loan is paid back? No, he does none of these things. You can demand your full $1,000 at any time. And the recipient of the loan can draw down the $900 immediately too. What the bank has actually done is create the $900 out of thin air. Where there was once $1,000, there is now $1,900. And since the amount created by the banker is limited only by the reserve requirements, and since most loans are deposited eventually in checking accounts, the process reinforces itself over and over to the point where approximately 97% of the money supply, 97%, has been created by the banks, with only some 3% actually coined or printed by the government. And the banker has the benefit of interest on this money created out of nothing. It is for this filthy, rotten system that our young people must forego their dreams. It is for this filth that we fight, tricking our young people into fighting wars so that this fraudulent system can be imposed on other peoples under the guise of free enterprise and democracy. It is to this filth that our college graduates are trapped into paying tribute for decades, slaving to pay interest to banks that created the loans out of nothing. It is for the sake of this filthy system that our young people so often remain childless. When the revolution comes, our best young minds will have the full support of our government and our society. When the revolution comes, monetary reward will go to those who contribute to the future of our race, and never to the parasites of the underclass or the overclass. When the revolution comes, the birth of quality white children to healthy white families will be among the most sacred goals of our society, beyond any mere economic values. When the revolution comes, we will be free.
American Dissident Voices.
While the best young white people are being enslaved by debt and having their fertile years made into barren years by the banks, while white birth rates are below replacement levels, so far below replacement that the majority of births in this country are now non-white births, the American population is still booming, getting bigger every second. What kind of people are replacing the white children who aren't being born? I could give thousands of examples, but let's take one from this week's headlines. Let's see what kind of America the system is building on our graves. The day before yesterday, in Austin, Texas, a black male rapper named Rashad Charwan Owens went into a blind rage after police officers checking for drunk drivers tried to stop him during the South by Southwest festival in that city, and plowed his vehicle into a crowd, killing 2 and injuring 23. Char Wan's so-called music is disgusting, using crude and hateful language toward women. But Char Wan, it must be admitted, is biologically more successful in the way that really matters in this universe, than the intelligent young whites who are encouraged to be childless by propaganda and forced to be childless by debt. Char Wan, at 21 years of age, is the father of no fewer than 6 acknowledged children. How many do you think he'll have at age 31 or 41? We can see from his social media profiles that Char Wan's sex partners include both black and white women. If some of those 6 children are by a white woman, then he has succeeded in not only disgustingly degrading her, but also in probably removing her, and who knows how many others, from any hope of finding a white husband and bearing white children. And how many more Char Wans are there in your city? How many in what used to be called America? Ironically, and also very telling about what America has become, the crowd that Rashad Char Wan Owens drove into was outside Austin's Mohawk nightclub, where they were waiting to go in to see another black rap performer calling himself Tyler the Creator. I don't know how many children Tyler the Creator has, but the white people who are his fans have clearly been lost to our people. Tyler the Creator's rap songs, like Char Wan's, include lyrics sexually debasing and degrading women, but they go even further and openly call for gunning down white people. Yet, Tyler is a darling of the Jewish-owned NBC television network and performed a slightly edited version of his rap song, Sandwich, on NBC's Jimmy Fallon show recently, receiving millions of dollars worth of publicity and probably convincing uncounted young white people that he was cool, as white comedian Fallon applauded his performance and literally carried him on his shoulders after his performance. Some of Tyler the Creator's lyrics, taken from just this one song alone, include references to punching a pregnant woman in the stomach and shoving objects into her womb. Quote, "And showing you and yours that breaking rules is effing cool again. I'm going harder than a midget jumping over me. I'm shoving blunt raps in bitches' ovaries. Punches to the stomach where that bastard kid is supposed to be. F a mask, I want that hoe to know it's me. I'll push this effing pregnant clown into a hydrant stuck in the ground. I step through the stomach, replace the baby with some effing pounds." Close quote. In the same song, Tyler the Creator makes an obvious reference to white suburbanites. Quote, "Come on, kids, F that class and hit that bong. Let's buy guns and kill those kids with dads and mom. With nice homes, 401ks, and nice-ass lawns. Those privileged F's got to learn that we ain't taking no S. Kill them." Close quote. That's the creature that NBC's Jimmy Fallon was told to have on his show and carry on his shoulders. That's the rapper that Jewish-run NBC tells your kids is cool, and with some of them, it's working. Just 1 week ago, a 15-year-old white girl posted on her Instagram account, quote, "Tyler the Creator is the father of my future children," close quote. One media executive instrumental in promoting this piece of garbage to our children is Nick Weidenfeld, head of Fox Animation Domination HD, or ADHD, a cartoon production company owned by ultra-Zionist Rupert Murdoch, boss of Fox News. Weidenfeld, who is said to hang out a lot with Tyler, is producing a whole series of kid and teen-oriented cartoon videos directly promoting Tyler the Creator, including 5 Things You Didn't Know About Tyler the Creator, which shows the rapper verbally abusing little white children while their parents stand by helpless and spitting on a subservient white man. That deluded, betrayed white girl who wants Tyler, the creator, to father her children, who wants to give herself to this primitive being who wouldn't have kept his freedom or maybe even his life for 5 minutes acting as he does in the America of the founders and the pioneers. That girl is typical of what America is turning into, thanks to the Nick Weidenfelds of this world and the oligarchs who finance his filth while impoverishing us and enslaving our young people with debt. That crowd waiting breathlessly and paying substantial sums to see Tyler the Creator rap about punching a pregnant girl in the stomach are typical too. And so is Rashad Sharwan and his white girlfriends and 6 children. While our young people delay having children, greatly limiting their number and often waiting until it's too late, they work year after year to pay the bankers, members of the same tribe that push the likes of Tyler and Sharwan on our unwitting young people. It's a crime. A stinking crime. An unforgivable crime. A capital crime. And we need to work together to end it once and for all. And then we need to work to build a new society. A whole new world, in fact, in which our young people, our most sacred posterity, the most precious thing in the universe, are protected and guided and enculturated with healthy values, our values, and a sense of who they really are. A sense of how sacred is the genetic and cultural heritage that has been given to them, and a sense of how sacred is their sexuality as the door to our infinite future. And we need to break the grip of the tribe that enslaves us to pay interest for half our lives on their fictitious loans. We need a society that gives the best education to our best young minds without stealing the most precious years of their lives, without forcing them to work for decades for the world's wealthiest parasites. If you want to help us build that new world, let me hear from you today. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the new National Alliance membership organization, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.